much on a roll. I think we should just turn him loose, don't you think?
Tonight.
Well, thank you all. Thank you for the joy of gathering together. I always look forward to coming here. I understand now, perhaps this is the first time I've heard Pastor Hull teach Sunday school, and I know that this is a well-taught church, and that's why you enjoy the teaching and preaching of God's Word. And it's like saying sick 'em to a dog to stand up here and have folks enjoy good preaching, and so thank you for that. We have grandkids coming to our house this week. In fact, this afternoon we're going to pick them up when we leave here. And it is amazing the transformation our house has gone through because the grandkids are coming. The beds have been all prepared for them to sleep in. The dangerous toys have been removed from the toy box. Foods have been bought for them that they like. My pill box that I keep on the table had to go and be put away so that their danger was removed. I'm concerned because if I am a bad influence on the grandkids, I might have to go. So if any of you have a spare room, I could, you know, be available. I might need it this week if she decides that I'm a danger or threat to the grandchildren. I tell folks everything that comes good into our house, if somebody gives us a candy bar box, they go up in the cupboard and they're for the grandkids. What am I? I did something this week and she looked at me and she said, "You're bad." I said, "You knew I was a sinner before you married me. Why bother now?" But anyway, the illustration about getting our house ready for grandkids reminds me of the text that we're looking at today in Proverbs chapter 4, where it says, "Guard your heart." It is interesting, the preparations we made for our grandchildren to come are important and right because we want to make sure they're well cared for, they're safe, and they're void of bad influences in their life while they're at our house. And here in this text in verse 23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." It is interesting that God says we need to guard, we need to safeguard, we need to watch out for, arrange our lives so that our hearts are guarded from bad influence. I put this on yours. It says, Warren Wiersbe says, "Guard your heart above all else because it determines the kind of life you will live. The heart is the master control of the life. Wrong heart always produces wrong life. If sin is allowed in, it pollutes the entire life." You ever heard the phrase, he has a good heart? We sometimes say that about somebody who maybe made a mistake, but we say, you know what, they had a good heart. What does that really mean? I had to think about that for a moment and say, what does it mean when somebody makes a mistake, but you say, you know what, they have a good heart? They did something bad. Why would we say that, but they have a good heart? Probably means because we look at them and say, overall, in their life, we can tell by their actions that they try to do what's right, that it comes from inside, that deep inside of them, they're not that kind of a person, per se. It is interesting that when we get old, people look at us as having changed. I was thinking about it the other day, and I was thinking, how did this happen? That I got to be retirement age. It doesn't seem, how did I get old? It just happened, I guess, as we live day by day. We go through life and all of a sudden, It hits us. It's time for retirement. But we don't. The person doesn't change. I mean, we can change. That's the whole reason for God's word, because we do want to change and become like Christ and grow in our faith and person. But we're the same inside as I was years ago, and yet somehow my body's gotten older. But we need to be careful, because the Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So we need to be aware of that. You know what, even though we've gone through a lot of life, and we might say that somebody, they have a good heart, the Bible says be careful. It says guard your heart, because your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And so the challenge here in these passages is saying, be careful. Guard your heart. Just as we're preparing for the grandchildren to come to our house and we're trying to make it a safe and good environment, so God's word tells us that we ought to be careful and guard the environment that our heart lives in. Guard, protect it, and encourage it to be good, because it is desperately wicked. The context in chapter 4 is interesting. Wisdom is personified. Look in verse 5. It says, get wisdom, get understanding, and forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not. All of a sudden now it puts personality to wisdom. It pretends it's a person and says, forsake her not, she shall preserve thee, love her, and she shall keep thee. And it goes on to just put wisdom into a personality. 14, verse 14, it says, either enter not into the paths of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. It says, be careful, because wisdom isn't there. You won't find it there, and you won't guard your heart entering into and being around evil people. The body parts are used. Look in verse 20. My son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life, and those that find them shall find health, and health to all their flesh. It uses our body parts to illustrate how we need to be careful what we do. Wrapping it all together, verse 23 then reminds us, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Our physical heart is a marvel. It can beat automatically, even without the nerves being connected to it. It beats 75 times a minute, usually. 40 million times a year, 2.5 billion times in a life of about 70 years. Each beat discharges about 4 ounces of blood. That amounts to about 3,000 gallons a day, 650,000 gallons a year, and that's enough to fill 81 tank cars at 8,000 gallons apiece. That's a lot of work for our pump inside our body. But there are many diseases and disorders of the heart that can affect our physical heart. I think of hardening of the arteries. There's also spiritual hardening of our arteries too, isn't it? Where a heart can become cold and reject the truth of God. And I think that's what we need to warn about here. Because our heart is deceitful, God warns us not to refuse instruction, because our heart is easily affected by that. When Solomon here tells us to guard our hearts, he really means the inner core of who we are and what we are. We often know people by what they do, don't we? We know them by the things that they've done to us, or we've watched them do. But the real us, the real heart of the matter, is who a person is, what they are inside. And it's really hard for me to describe what heart really is. Some folks believe it's the intellect, the emotion, the will that really makes us up as a person, and that's all true. But then remember, Jesus says, he said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Yeah. And so it's bigger than just defining it in that way, heart. And so I'm not sure I can fully define it, but God says that he looks on our heart. Where man looks on the outside, God says he looks at a man's heart. You remember when God was choosing a king for Israel? Remember that Samuel came to anoint the new king among Jesse's sons, and all of them passed before Samuel, and God said, none of those. And he said, you look on the outside, but he said, God looks at the heart. And remember, it was Samuel asked, he said, don't you have any more sons? He said, yeah, there's one out in the field tending the sheep. They almost forgot about. But that was the one that God chose because his heart was right with God. It is interesting. And so I'd like us to study verse 23 and the surrounding verses here just for a few moments this morning and see if we can gather the importance of guarding our hearts. Even though we've lived and had some experience, you know, it is interesting. I've preached a number of times here, a number of times through my lifetime. It shouldn't be scary anymore. But somehow it is. Somehow on the way down here, driving here, it scares me to death. And I'm thinking, what am I doing? Certainly there's better educated. There are a number of people that should be doing what I'm doing. But God has chosen to use the preaching of his word in spite of the messenger. And so we want to look at his word and understand as much as we can out of it. And the first, if you're filling in your blanks, it's a principal concern. A principal concern. It says, keep your heart. This ought to be the concern on each of our hearts as we get up in the morning, as we go to bed at night, to say, what's my heart like? Where is it at between me and God? What is my real person? And don't we forget that sometimes, and we worry more about, just as I did this morning before I came in here, I went to the bathroom and checked to make sure that my hair is not standing up on my cowlick in the back to be a distraction to you folks. We're concerned about the outside, oftentimes more than we are concerned about our heart. But it ought to be a principal concern, as verse 23 indicates. It says, keep your heart, keep thy heart. The importance of the heart, as here, the mental, emotional capacity, it encompasses one's value. As Jesus said, where your heart, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's the direction of one's life that's at stake. But not only the importance of the heart, but the priority of the heart. Psalm 90 says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom or gain a heart of wisdom. Yeah, teach us to number our days. It says sometimes evaluate our lives. That's a scary thing, isn't it? To take some time and evaluate, to say where we are. Do you ever talk to yourself? I know that's a, they say there's places for people that do that, right? But maybe I should be at one of those places, but I do that sometimes. I'll reflect on what I've just, like preaching. I'll reflect on what I've said and done in the pulpit, and sometimes it's spontaneous, and I say things I regret saying, and I look back and say, that was really dumb. But it's important that we evaluate, because hopefully we won't make that same mistake again. And that's the idea here of keep your heart, guard your heart. Understand that we learn from what we've done, and we want to set a guard up in our lives to say, put ourselves in an environment that we guard against that wicked heart, because it is deceitful. We might think we're doing something, my wife and I won't tell you what it was, but I did something this week that was really dumb, last week now, really dumb. And I knew it wasn't the best thing, but it just turned out, and all of a sudden, God brought it face to face in my life and said, that was really dumb. And I promised God, I said, never do it again. I learned my lesson. But sometimes, even though as we go through life, unless God brings us up short and points out that our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, we will begin to think that we've got a handle on life. And the truth is, as God says, your heart's deceitful. You can be deceived into thinking you're doing okay. And he said, sometimes I bring you up short to say, get a grip. Your heart is deceitful and has deceived you in these things. Ask President Nixon, who decided he would do anything to become president. Ask Lot, who chose the easy life, even though it was going to have a bad influence on him. Ask Samson, who said, get her for me, she pleases me well. Ask those men in the lion's den what choices they had to make at a difficult time in their life, and God protected them and guarded them. Ask Daniel, who would not be defiled with the king's meat. Ask Joshua and Caleb, who came to different conclusions than the other spies, and decided to, because their heart was right with God, they wanted to obey God, and said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But that didn't come easy, but it came from in his heart, who said, this is who I am, and this is my choice in the matter, but it came from inside, even though on the outside we see the decision, but it came from a good heart. It came from not a deceived heart, but a heart that wanted to be right with God. Our heart can change show what's important to us and really better. Secondly, not only a principal concern, but also a protective role we have in this guarding our hearts. It says, keep thine heart with all diligence, which means that somebody has to protect it. God wants us to guard our hearts, but it's going to take some diligence on our part. The issue of safety, keep it safe at all cost. It can be changed. Safe is giving your heart to God. And I trust that each of you today here has given your heart. We say that, don't we? Give your heart to Jesus. And we're certainly not talking about a physical heart, are we? We're talking about our spiritual heart, the real person, who we are. When my wife said, I don't want to go to another funeral. She said, I'm funeraled out. We had one on early in the week, another one later in the week, and sure enough, I got a call on Friday that one of my friend's wife just dropped over dead of a stroke. And it's like, you know, when I stand by those caskets and look there, and to give me a, I'm not morbid or anything, but sometimes for a reality check, I'll reach in and touch their hand. And I know it's cold, but it gives me a real to say, this is just their body. This is just their shell. The real person is gone from here, but alive. We never die. We call it death, but it's only the death of our throwaway body, our temporary body. So, the real us will live on somewhere forever. And that's why it's important that we give that person, that heart, the real us, to God. Through Jesus Christ, God has provided a way, as they sang today, in the beloved. We want to be in Christ. We want to give him our real life, the real who we are, because that's the real us. This body and shell that we live in temporarily is, I was going to say junk. That's not true. God made it, so it can't be junk, right? But it is kind of fragile. It is kind of prone to aches and pains and decline. And so the real us is what God wants. And he said, I want your life. Give me your heart. And that is so important for each of us to understand that because we are sinners, somebody's got to pay for that sin. Either we pay for it in hell or in the lake of fire eventually, or we let Jesus Christ accept his forgiveness. No greater joy than to be in the beloved, in Christ, in the family of God, and know for sure. We give our life to him because it's safekeeping. We're guarding our hearts, first of all, by giving it to Him to say, I want you to take my heart and life. And I know that safely one day He will take then and bring us into heaven with Him in eternal life. But not only, look in verse 24. In guarding our hearts, look at verse 24 through 27. It is interesting. He says He uses all of these other things in our life to help us guard that heart, which are the features of us. It says, put away from thee a froward mouth, perverse lips put far from thee, let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids... By the way, whenever it says, let thine eyes look right on and let thine eyelids look straight before thee, I come off the farm, and I'm in Amish country where I grew up. Did you ever notice that on those horse and buggies, many of the horses, I don't know if they still do it, I haven't looked recently, but the horses have what they call blinders on them. Right in the side of their eyes, they have little black things out the side. And the reason for that is because they don't want the horse to be spooked by something on either side, so that if a car passes or something, it just doesn't spook them. They're just looking straight. That always reminds me of that when I read that verse. It says, let your eyes look straight on. Don't be distracted from what God wants in guarding our hearts and keeping our minds. But all of those things are contributors to guarding our hearts. The issue of responsibility, not only issue of safety, but the issue of you and I responsibility. If we fail, we can't blame anybody else. We are responsible. It says, keep your heart with all diligence. That means we have a role in that. We know we are safe in Christ and we'll never lose our salvation. But in reality, we can be distracted and our hearts are deceitful, even though we're saved. We can be deceived, and Satan would love nothing more than to deceive us, even as believers. You know, heart specialists had some years ago had an annual convention, and the small group of doctors listening to this lecture from a highly specialized technician, the lecturer asked this group of doctors, they said, how many of you have had a heart exam in the last year? You can guess what the answer was. Not one of them. Here they were heart specialists. They knew that people should get their heart checked. And they were technicians who cared for people's hearts. But they hadn't cared for their own. They hadn't checked their own out. And it's easy for us Christians to do that too, isn't it? We show concern for this and that and the other thing. And here God says, guard your heart. It says, you be concerned about your heart, that it's healthy. It's important to be busy serving the Lord. But we can become so busy that we forget our own walk with the Lord and our own relationship and soon be distracted and fall away. That's easy to happen when we're retired. It's a new life. Some of the responsibilities are gone that were there before. And it's easy now to look and say, a lot of other stuff in the world I could be doing. But it is interesting. I'm reading a book. This is somewhere else. I know I have this stuff in my notes. I'm never sure when it comes up, but I'm going to put it in here. I'm reading a book now called If You Had a Year to Live, How Would You Live? If you knew that you had 1 year to live, what would you do? What would you change? Would you quit your job? Would you get a new job? Would you work harder at the job you have? Would you go on vacation? Would you get a divorce? Would you get remarried? What would you do if you knew you had 365 days to live? And we're not told that, but pretend. What would you change? I mean, I don't agree with it. The book is written by a secular writer, so it's junk. Their recommendations for what to do are junk. But reading the book Just thinking about that made me think. Would I go on doing what I'm doing right now in my life if I knew 365 days from now I was going to die? I don't know. I love what I'm doing. I think I'm okay with God. I think I'm trying to accomplish His will in my life. But it does make us think, would you do what you're doing right now and continue doing that if you knew that 365 days later it would be over? If not, perhaps we should get busy about it then, shouldn't we? was my conclusion, not the book's conclusion. I'm not sure where they're going with it. It was such technical jargon that I'm not sure I even understand what the author's saying. I'm reading because for my job, they gave me a book to read, and I'm going to read it. But the title is intriguing to me. Just the thought process of what would you do? It's so important to guard our hearts because we do have a responsibility given here to guard our hearts. Failure will be our fault. Thirdly, should it be a principal concern, we should have a protective role in it, we have a part in it, but it's also a pure fountain. Look at the last part, it says, keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It's very interesting that it says, and the idea here is a wellspring. Do you remember James talks about that? Let me read James for you. It fits right so well here. It says, but the tongue, in James chapter 3, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain bring forth out of the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, either a vine, figs? So no fountain both yieldeth salt and fresh. Who is a wise man and endured with knowledge among him? You let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. It is a truth to saying that our hearts will demonstrate, or our actions will demonstrate what's in our hearts. What's the old saying? If you give somebody enough rope? Yeah, you heard that too. In reality, God says what's inside your heart, what you really are, is going to flow out. It's going to come. You're not inconsequential. Insignificant. I'm not sure what the word is. But the truth is that our lives do affect others. And it becomes quite evident what's in our heart sooner or later. And so it is a wellspring that flows. The word rendering is a flowing springs that usually refers to a geographical territory. But in this case, it's the sense of the source or place of origin. So it says, out of it come the issues of life. It says it's the wellspring of life. Your whole life comes from your heart, comes from who you are, and should reflect then what you really believe. And that's a shame sometimes, isn't it? Because we say we believe this from the Bible, and yet do we really practice it? We say people are lost and going to hell. Our neighbors and friends and relatives are dying and on their way to hell. But we never talk to them. We never share our faith with them. Shame on us. Our doctrine is what we believe in our heart, but it doesn't flow out of us. So do we really believe it? If I said to somebody, your house is on fire, I knocked on their doors, I'm driving by and see their house, smoke coming out the roof, I would say, stop and say, you got to get out of your house, it's on fire. And they would say, sure, I know, come on in and have a cup of coffee. And I'd say, no, you don't get it. Your house is burning down and you're going to die in it if you don't get out. And they would say, right, come on in, we'll get out later. who said, no, you don't get it. You don't really believe what I'm saying, or you'd get out now. And so many times in our lives, we say we believe the Bible. We say we believe the doctrine of heaven and hell. But does it really move us to do something about that, of what we say we believe? Are we really, do we really believe it? Is it in our heart, which eventually will show up in our life, in our actions? So it's not only a wellspring that flows out of our life, but it's a life that shows. Our life does show what's in our heart. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, but an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's so true. You send a bad kid off to a Christian college, hoping that will fix him or her. It doesn't. Guess what friends they find when they go to college? That good Christian college. They're going to find bad friends. They're going to find other friends that are there just like them, and they're going to get together, and you're going to say, I thought it was a Christian college. It is. But somebody that's got a bad heart goes to a college, and he's going to find other people bad, and it's not going to help, because what's in sooner or later comes out. Life review, though, can help us. As we review our lives and as we look at our lives, and here it says guard our hearts, and that means we ought to look at them and say, is my heart what I want it to be? Is it pleasing to God? You remember Ebenezer Scrooge? Life review helped him, didn't it? A good deal. Looking at his life and realizing what a pathetic life he had made. Guard your heart. Review our life and make sure that our heart hasn't deceived us. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I don't know what will change you and me. Maybe it's reading the Word of God. I know that that will influence you in a tremendous way. Daily reading of God's Word, praying and asking God to guard our hearts with us, help us to see what's the danger there. I don't know. I put at the bottom of your paper, what can you do this week to guard your heart? What in area of your life as you're in life review to say, my life reflects my heart? What is it that I could start doing that would help at guarding my heart and produce a good heart? Could I stop doing that God's showing me is a detriment to my spiritual life and to who I really am? Let's pretend for a moment. Let's pretend for a moment that you're driving and you're looking at this pretty scenery. For a city boy, for a city person, they're going to see the mountains and the hills and such a change from the big buildings where they live. But let's pretend you're driving along in a car and you're looking at the beautiful mountains. Maybe a lake goes by and your mind... Maybe on the left you see a lake and you say, as me, I would love to get my boat on that lake and spend some time out there, maybe throw a line out and see if I could catch some fish. And as your mind is wandering and you're distracted, what may happen? My wife always says, when I look to the right, the car goes to the right. And she screams and says, anyway... Let's suppose you did veer over and you hear the semi's horn blowing, but it's too late and you hit head on. And you end up in the hospital for barely clinging to life. And you're in there for 4 to 6 weeks and then you have another 4 to 6 weeks of rehab. And when you come home, you're probably going to live with that, with some of the difficulties for the rest of your life. Why? Because you were distracted. And sometimes we pay the price for our spiritual distraction. Heartaches and difficulties come into our life sometimes as a result of our distraction. We got caught up in something, and before we knew it, we were at a place or doing something that we shouldn't be doing. I trust that you and I will guard our hearts. Keep it with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Our life comes out of our heart. And so let's guard our heart. Let's put it an environment around us that is conducive to producing a good person, a good heart. God says, guard your heart. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly